The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 19, Texts Number 9 and 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 12th, 2016, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Archishvashishchavana Sharadvan. Arishtane me Rigarangarascha.
Arishtane me Rigarangarascha.
Parashara Gaddi Sitotarama.
Parashara Gaddi Sitotarama.
Utata Indra Pramade Madvahau.
Utata Indra Pramade
Medatiti Devala Arishtiseno.
Medatiti Devala Arishtiseno.
Paranvajau Gautama Pippalada.
Paranvajau Gautama Pippalada.
Maitreya Arva Kavasa Kubayonir.
Maitreya Arva Kavasa Kubayonir.
Vipayana Bhagavan Naradascha.
Vipayana Bhagavan Naradascha.
Well, the synonyms, Prabhupada doesn't actually break down the synonyms because these are all just it's a list of sages' names. He says, Atri to Narada, all names of the different saintly persons who arrive there from different parts of the universe. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. From different parts of the universe, there arrived great sages like Atri, Chavana, Sharadvan, Arishtanemi, Bhrigu, Vishishta, Parashara, Vishvamrita, Angira, Parashurama, Utata, Indrapramada, Idmavahu, Medatiti, Devala, Arishtasena, Bharadvaj, Gautama, Pipalada, Maitreya, Arva, Kavasha, Kumbayani, Dvapayana, and the great personality, Narada. Purport. Chavana, a great sage and one of the sons of Bhrigumuni. He was born prematurely when his pregnant mother was kidnapped. Chavana is one of the six sons of his father, Bhrigu. When Brahmaji was performing a great sacrifice on behalf of Varuna, Maharshi Bhrigu was born from the sacrificial fire. He was a great sage and his very dear wife was Puloma. He could travel in space like Durvasa, Narada, and others, and he used to visit all the planets of the universe. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, he tried to stop the battle. Sometimes he instructed Bharadvaj Muni about astronomical evolution, and he is the author of the great Bhrigu Samhita, the great astrological calculation. He explained how air, fire, water, and earth are generated from ether. He explained how the air in the stomach works and regulates the intestines. As a great philosopher, he logically established the eternity of the living entity, Mahabharata. He was also a great anthropologist, and the theory of evolution was long ago explained by him. He was a scientific propounder of the four divisions and orders of human society known as the Varnashram institution. He converted the Kshatriya king, Vitahavya, into a Brahmin. Vishishta, and also for Vishishta, one should read Srimad Bhagavatam 196. Parashara, he is the grandson of Vishishta Muni and father of Vyasadeva. He is the son of Maharshi Shakti, and his mother's name was Advishyati. He was born from the womb of his mother when she was only 12 years old, and from within the womb of his mother he learned the Vedas. His father was killed by a demon, Kalmasha Pada, and to avenge this, he wanted to annihilate the whole world. He was restrained, however, by his grandfather, Vasishta. He then performed a Rakshasa-killing yajna, but Maharshi Palashya restrained him. He begot Vyasadeva, being attracted by Sachavati, who was to become the wife of Maharaj Shantanu. By the blessings of Parashara, Sachavati became fragrant for miles. He was present also during the time of Bhishma's death. He was the spiritual master of Maharaj Janak and a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He is the author of many Vedic scriptures in sociological directions. Gadi Sutta or Vishvamrita. A great sage of austerity and mystic power, he is famous as Gadhi Sutta because his father was Gadhi, a powerful king of the province of Kanyakubja, part of Uttar Pradesh. Although he was a Kshatriya by birth, he became a Brahmin in the very same body by the power of his spiritual achievements. He picked a quarrel with Vashishtha Muni, and when he was a Kshatriya king, and performed a great sacrifice in cooperation with Matanga Muni, and was thus able to vanquish the sons of Vashishtha. He became a great yogi, and yet he failed to check his senses, and was thus obliged to become the father of Shakuntala, the beauty queen of the world history. Once when he was a Kshatriya king, he visited the hermitage of Vashishtha Muni, and he was given a royal reception. Vishishtamrita wanted from Vashishtha a cow named Nandini, and Muni refused to deliver it. Vishwamitra stole the cow, and thus there was a quarrel between the sage and the king. Vishwamitra was defeated by the spiritual strength of Vashishtha, and thus the king decided to become a Brahmin. Before becoming a Brahmin, he underwent a severe austerity on the bank of Kaushika. He was also one who tried to stop the Kurukshetra War. Angida. He was one of the six mental sons of Rama and the father of Brihaspati, the great learned priest of the demigods and the heavenly planets. He was born of the semen of Brahmaji, given to a cinder of fire. Uttata and Samavarta are his sons. It is said that he is still performing austerity and chanting the holy name of the Lord at a place known as Alokananda on the banks of the Ganges. Parashuram, Sri Bhagavatam 196. Uttata, one of the three sons of Maharshi Angara. He was the spiritual master of Maharaj Mandata. He married Bhadra, the daughter of Soma Moon. Varuna kidnapped his wife Bhadra, and to retaliate the offense of the god of water, he drank all the water of the world. Meditititi, an old sage of yore, an assembly member of the heavenly king Indradev. His son was Kanvamuni, who brought up Shakuntala in the forest. He was promoted to the heavenly planets by strictly following the principles of retired life, Vanaprastha. Devala, a great authority like Narada Muni and Vyasadeva. His good name is on the list of authorities mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna acknowledged Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He met Maharaj Yudhisthira after the Battle of Kurukshetra, and he was the elder brother of Domya, the priest of the Pandava family. Like the Kshatriyas, he also allowed his daughter to select her own husband in a Svayambara meeting, and at that ceremony, all the bachelor sons of the rishis were invited. According to some, he is not Asita Devala. Bharadvaja, see Srimad Bhagavatam 196. Gautama, one of the seven great sages of the universe. Sharavan Gautama is one of his sons. Persons in the Gautama Gotra dynasty today are either his family descendants or in his disciplic succession. The Brahmanas who profess Gautama Gotra are generally family descendants, and the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas who profess Gautama Gotra are all in the line of his disciplic succession. He was the husband of the famous Ahalya, who turned into stone when Indradev, the king of heaven, molested her. Ahalya was delivered by Lord Ramachandra. Gautama was the grandfather of Kripacharya, one of the great heroes of the Battle of Kurukshetra. Maitreya, a great rishi of yore, he was spiritual master of Vidura and a great religious authority. He advised Dhritarashtra to keep good relations with the Pandavas. Duryodhana disagreed and thus was cursed by him. He met Vyasadeva, had religious discourses with him. This is an extraordinarily amazing gathering of sages. This is not a complete list. This is just a little sample of the great sages who came. So, where do they come from?
Taigi, ko jie čia tie?
Did they come simply from all over India? No. How about simply from all over the planet Earth? No. They came from all over the universe. Nowadays, they're very eager to make interplanetary travel. You see?
Dabar žmonės labai nori keliauti tarp įvairių planetų.
Now they're talking about going to Mars.
Ir svajoja net į Marsą nukeliauti.
But interplanetary travel was easily accomplished by these great sages.
Bet šiem išminčiam tokios tarpplanetinės kelionės buvo lengvai pasiekiamos.
From all over the universe, they came here to hear Shukadev Goswami explaining Bhagavatam to Maharaj Pariksit.
Yes, susirinko iš visos visatos, kad išgirstų, kaip Šukadeva Goswamis pasakoja Šrimad Bhagavatam.
Why did they come from all over the universe?
Kodėl jie keliavo iš visos visatos?
Because that was the most significant thing happening in the entire universe at that time.
Nes tuo metu tai buvo pats svarbiausias įvykis, kuris vyko visatoje.
So try to understand the great significance of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I have an insider secret to tell you. The potency of the Bhagavatam is still here. Simply by reading and meditating on these sacred words of Srimad Bhagavatam. The spiritual potency, the divine shakti of that vibration is just as powerful now as it was 5,000 years ago. Wherever the Bhagavatam is being heard and vibrated by sincere devotees of the Lord, that place is just as good as the bank of the river where Shukadev and Pariksit were having their divine conversation 5,000 years ago. So what does that tell you about the mood you should be in right here, right now?
Ką tai mums sako apie nuotaiką, kurioje mes turėtume klausyti čia ir dabar Bhagavatam?
We should try to develop the same mood that these sages had.
Mes turime stengtis turėti tokią pat nuotaiką, kaip ir išminčiai turėjo klausydami.
We sometimes find it difficult to go 1 mile to Bhagavatam class.
Kartais mums atrodo, kad visą kilometrą reikia eiti iki paskaitos.
Or 5 or 10 miles.
5 kilometrus labai toli.
But these sages came from all over the universe for Bhagavatam class. So just try to understand the significance of this Bhagavatam. How seriously we should take this message. The question would be then, why is it so important? This Bhagavatam is actually Krishna himself. It is an incarnation of Krishna. So whether you are fully absorbed in vibrating and hearing the Bhagavatam, or you're directly seeing Krishna face to face,
ar jūs tiesiogiai sutikot Krishna veidas į veidą?
There's no difference.
Jokio skirtumo.
If you were able to see Krishna face to face right now, wouldn't you become super enlivened?
Jeigu ateitų Krishna, ar jūs galėtumėte jį pamatyti, ar jūs nebūtumėte labai laimingi?
Oh, Krishna has revealed himself.
Krishna man apsireiškia.
It'd be the fulfillment of all your desires.
Tai visų mano troškimų išsipildymas.
So that same potency, that same mercy, that same auspiciousness is fully present right here, right now in the vibrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. The difficulty is we're not focused.
O problema tik tame, kad mes nesam susikoncentravę.
We're thinking about breakfast.
O galvojame apie pusryčius.
Or something else, you see. We're not tuned in.
Mes nesam pasinėrę.
Our minds are flying here and there and all over the universe.
Protas skraidžia po visą visatą.
So it's time to come in for a landing, Prabhus and
Maharajas.
Come in for a landing. Take your wandering mind and bring it in for a landing right now. At the lotus feet of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You may say lotus feet. Bhagavatam has lotus feet.
Bhagavatam turi pėdas?
Yes, you did not know. Bhagavatam has lotus feet.
Taip, nežinojau, kad Bhagavatam turi pėdas, lotusinės pėdas.
The first and second cantos are the lotus feet of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Pirma ir antra giesmė yra Bhagavatam pėdas.
So we're meditating on one of the lotus feet of Bhagavatam, first canto. Taigi
mes medituojame į Bhagavatam pėdas.
So if you will take this message seriously,
taigi, jeigu šitą žinią jūs imsite ir...
take it deep, deep, deep into your heart.
Imsite giliai, giliai savo širdį.
It'll drive away all the lust.
Tai išdžiovins jūsų širdyje visą
gėrį. It'll get rid of all the anger and the greed.
Neliks jame širdyje nei pykčio.
The madness, the illusion, the envy.
Nei beprotystės, nei iliuzijos.
And the fear. Which have haunted us for millions and billions of lifetimes. By simply submissively hearing the Bhagavatam, you will drive all of this nonsense out of your heart. And you will awaken into pure love of God. So please take this message very seriously. It is a matter of spiritual life or death. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Maybe you can tell some lila about Pundarika Vidyanidhi.
Tell about what?
Some lila.
Lila?
About.
We already mentioned the lila. Pariksha Maharaj and Shukadev. We already mentioned that
about,
lila.
About Pundarika Vidyanidhi.
Pundarika Vidyanidhi. I'm not familiar with his pastimes. Next question.
Galiu papasakoti nieko apie kitas klausimas.
Yeah.
Gal galėtų realiai pasakyti, tikros transcendencijos atvejai labai reti, ar tai reiškia, kad šitam pasaulyje dauguma iš mūsų daugiausiai ką gali pasiekti, tai yra satvaguna.
It is very rare that someone achieves transcendental level. Is it true that most of us can aspire only to achieve satvaguna?
No. You should aspire for Krishna Prema.
Ne, jūs turite siekti Krishna Premos.
Shoot for the stars and at least you'll clear the fence. The stars are here, the fence is here, you see. Shoot, if you aim for the... Let's say you're trying to jump.
Aim for 100% and we will make it the best.
Let's say there's a fence here and you're trying to clear the fence. Sattvaguna is the fence.
Sattvaguna is the fence.
Prema is the stars.
You see?
So you say, well, I'm just going to try to achieve sattvaguna. Well, you may not make it, you know. But if you shoot for the stars, at least you'll get to
sattvaguna.
The point is, if you strive for Krishna Prema, at least you'll achieve sattvaguna. But if you only aspire for sattvaguna, you may only make it to
rajaguna.
So if you aspire for Prema, and at least you'll get to sattvaguna.
Ir bent jau sako būna pasiekti.
Which is this prior step to prema.
Kas yra žingsnis link premas.
Just like you're taking an exam in your the college course, you see. Some students think, well, I'm going to try to get 100% on this exam. So they end up with 90%. It's still a pretty good grade. Other student says, well, I'm just going to try to pass the exam. I'm just going to try to make a 70% grade, you see. They end up with 69% and they fail, you see. So you should always strive for 100%. And that will guarantee you the best possible results. Next question.
I have a desire to go to India and do you need guru blessings to go to India?
You have to go and you have to be Krishna conscious.
Tam, kad vykti į Indiją, reikia būti Krishna sąmoningo.
Anybody can buy a ticket to India and catch a taxi from Delhi to Vrindavan.
Bet kas gali nusipirkti bilietą į Indiją ir su taksi nuvažiuoti į Vrindavan iš Delhi?
But that doesn't mean you actually enter into Vrindavan.
Bet tai nereiškia, kad tu patekai į Vrindavan.
You only can enter into Vrindavan by the mercy of the spiritual master.
Į Vrindavaną galima patekti tik tai dvasinio mokytojo palaiminimo dėka.
That doesn't mean he says, I bless you. No, it means you have to be surrendered to the spiritual master. Not just in the name of guru, but no, you have to actually be surrendered to the spiritual master. Spiritual master is described as the revealer of the Dham. So by actually taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, then you can truly enter to the Dham. So the blessings of the spiritual master means there are the blessings are already there and you already have the blessing. But are you taking advantage of the blessing? It's up to you to take advantage of the spiritual master's blessing. By taking shelter and be fully surrendered to him. And if you do that, then you're always living in the Holy Dham at every minute. Whether you're in Vrindavan, Mayapur, or Kaunas, it's the same. One who has taken shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, they're always living in the Holy Dham at every minute. Next.
Kitas klausimas. How to learn to chant holy name not mechanically but in the service mood?
Ask Krishna to help you. My dear Lord, I'm chanting your holy name 16 rounds every day at least. But I'm such a rascal. I just do it mechanically, my Lord. Please bless me, my beloved Lord Krishna, that I can chant with in a mood of complete surrender to you. So you can, if you beg Krishna to help you, when you, before you begin your rounds, you just make a very sincere prayer. Today, my Lord, please let my rounds be fully in the mood of surrender to you.
You can
pray that every day before you start your rounds. And I guarantee you, your rounds will be the best rounds you ever chant in your whole life. Because Krishna will very much appreciate that prayer and he'll definitely help you. Next. Do you have anything you want to add, please? Feel free. Okay.
Šastras yra pasakyta, kad yra dviejų rūšių mokiniai. Tai vieni mokiniai, kurie išoriškai priima mokinį.
It is in Shastras it is said that there's two kinds of disciples. One who just artificially accept spiritual master.
Pavyzdžiui, nori tenai primokti auskorčiau būti, kad ten kokią nuotrauką kartu pasidaryti ar dar kažką.
They just look advantage from material advantage from spiritual master.
Kiti mokiniai yra, kurie priima tą vidinę mokto nuotrauką. Tai mano klausimas būtų, kaip tapti to mokiniu, kuris priima mokto
vidinę. And others, they accept very deeply spiritual master. And this question, how to become this true disciple, how to accept spiritual master very deeply in the heart.
Be fully obedient to the spiritual master's orders, that's all you have to do.
Viskas, ką reikia padaryti, tai būti pilnai paklusniam dvasiniam mokytojo nurodymams.
There's three things you have to do to become a genuine disciple.
Kad būtum rimtas mokinys, turi padaryti tris dalykus.
Take shelter of the spiritual master.
Priimk mokytojo prieglobstį.
Get initiated.
Gaut iniciaciją.
And then be completely obedient to his instructions, accepting them as your very life and soul.
Ir priimti jo nurodymus kaip savo gyvenimo sielą.
If you do that, you're solid.
Jeigu tai darysi, tu būsi...
It's three legs, you see. It's like this tripod here on the microphone stand.
Mikrofonas stovi ant trijų kojų.
There's only two legs that falls over.
Jeigu būtų dvi kojas, tai kristų.
One leg, no legs, but it takes three legs to be solid. So for you to become a solid, genuine disciple, you need three things. They're listed in Nectar Devotion, chapter 6. Shelter, Diksha, and obedience. That's the formula for spiritual perfection. Yes.
Mano klausimas, ką tai reiškia prieglobsčio priėmimas, ar tai yra tiesiog formalus panamos mantros gavimas, ar tai yra kažkokia tai ypatinga nuotaika. I want to ask about accepting shelter. Does it mean just some formal, take some formal pranama mantra, or is some internal mood, or something?
The real meaning of shelter is to accept within your heart, this is my spiritual master.
Tikras prieglobščio priėmimas tai reiškia savo širdyje priimti. Tai yra mano mokytojas.
The example is Prabhupada himself.
Pavyzdys yra Šila Prabhupada.
When in 1922 he had that meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati at Uttadanga.
Kada 1922 jis sutiko savo dvasinį mokytoją pirmą kartą Uttadangoje.
As soon as he was defeated by the arguments of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, he immediately accepted within his heart that this is my spiritual master. Prabhupada commented about that meeting with his spiritual master. He said, practically, he initiated me. Now, he didn't get formal initiation until 11 years later. But within his heart, he was already accepting him as guru. So, this is the real meaning of shelter.
Tai yra tikrasis prieglobščio prasmė.
Within your heart you accept this person is my spiritual master.
Savo širdimi aš priimu, tai yra mano mokytojas.
And then that becomes reaffirmed with the vow at the time of initiation.
Ir iniciacijos metu aš tai patvirtinu, duodamas įžadus.
Because this, then that's when the spiritual master says, yes, I will accept you as my disciple. That, in your heart, shelter means within your heart you've accepted him as your guru. And diksha means he says yes and yes and I will accept you as my disciple. Plus you've made the solemn vow in front of the fire. So that makes it very solid, you see. But then you have to obey the spiritual master. Otherwise you've thrown the whole thing away. You made it turn into a meaningless ritual. Sometimes disciples do that. They completely reject the spiritual master's instructions. They're not disciples, they're rascals. So to be fully obedient to the spiritual master, that's the final step.
Taigi galutinis žingsnis yra būti visiškai paklusniam dvasiniu mokytoju.
That step will take you all the way to spiritual perfection.
Ir šitas žingsnis nuves tave iki dvasinio tobulumo.
Gurudev, but is it possible if someone really takes deep in his heart as as a spiritual master, and after initiation that he won't follow his obedient, he won't be obedient? Is it possible? If you really take...
They didn't really, it was superficial from the word go, yeah.
Ar įmanoma, jeigu žmogus pilnai priima dvasinį moktą savo širdį ir po iniciacijos neseka nurodymus? Atsakymas, kad jie nebuvo pilnai priėmę širdį, buvo dirbtina.
It's a good point. If they've actually, if they've genuinely taken shelter of that spiritual master, they will never disobey him for all of eternity. If they disobey him, it means they never really took shelter, they never took dikshas. They never really accepted him as a guru, otherwise they would be obey him. That's a very good point.
So the ISKCON rule of taking shelter of the spiritual master is like a just artificial, because it says that until you get initiated, you can change the guru.
Tai ISKCON taisyklė tokia yra, kad mes priimam prieglobstį ir bet sakoma, kad kol mes negalime siečias, mes galime keisti. Kaip pas vieną mokytą priimti prieglobstį, pas kitą, tai aiškiai, jis labai dirbtinai mes priimti.
Yeah, the institutional taking shelter is slightly different from the real meaning of taking shelter.
Yra du tokie dalykai, yra tas institucinis prieglobščio priimimas ir tikras širdyje prieglobščio priimimas.
As you have aptly pointed out.
Kaip ir pažymėjo.
It's like a joke.
No, it's not really a joke, but it's an attempt to it's a managerial
taking shelter of the spiritual.
I wouldn't call it a joke. I would say it's different than the real meaning of shelter.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a joke.
But it cannot be managerial because also that taking shelter of the spiritual master is not on a political level as a manager.
Prabhupada proved that by his own example. He wasn't recommended for initiation, but he took shelter within his home.
No, I'm not again. According to the way the ISKCON is instituted like that, they can change.
I'm very well aware of that. That's why I said there's a distinction between the two. Yeah. It's just a managerial directive to manage the process of initiation, ISKCON. I wouldn't call it a joke, but I would say it's different than actual shelter. Okay?
What I'm saying,
you got my point?
I understood what you said, but I'm just saying that it's not also a very good managerial system.
Well, then you could propose a resolution of the GBC to change it, if you like. Every disciple has a right to lobby the GBC. If you feel there's a better way of doing it, you can lobby the GBC.
So if they can change the guru, then what kind of shelter is that?
You can make this proposal to the GBC how it could be done in a better way, and if it's a good proposal, they can pass it and change the system. So next question. Yeah.
What to do in this case if Guru Maharaj gives some specific order and you are not able to immediately do this, so it is some offense, or how to deal with this?
Well, Prabhupada told us, he says, I waited 35 years to carry out the order of my Guru Maharaj. So sometimes one is delayed by circumstances. He was told to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. But he's a house owner, he has a business, he's got a wife, he's got kids.
Yeah.
He was pretty entangled in those things. He did it, but only on a part-time basis. But when he started ISKCON, then it went full-time, you see.
Ir tai, kai jisai buvo, kai jisai įsteigė skoną, tik tai tada prasidėjo jo mokytojų gyvenimas.
Now, if you're absolutely not able to do it at all, then you should consult your spiritual master.
Taigi, jeigu neįmanoma daryti, tai reikia konsultuoti su dvasiniu mokytoju.
But even great souls sometimes delayed in carrying out the order of the spiritual master.
Taigi, nedidžiosios sielos ne visą laiką iš karto gali gyvenyti dvasinio mokytojo nurodymą.
Due to various circumstances.
It's
like Prabhupada told us, he said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Well, have we delivered the world yet? No, we haven't. So in that sense, we're disobeying Prabhupada's order. He told us to deliver the world and we haven't done it yet. But we're trying. We're trying our best, racking our brains. How we can deliver these fallen souls? How can we flood this planet with Prabhupada's books? How can we have kirtan going on in every town and village all over the planet every day?
See?
So we're racking our brains trying to figure out how to pull it off, you see? So the fact that we have not yet delivered the world doesn't mean that we're disobeying the order of the spiritual master. Just means it's going to take some time, that's all. According to the scripture, it will happen, the whole world will get delivered.
Pagal šventrašio pranašystės taip nutiks, visas pasaulis bus išvaduotas.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami pranašavo.
He says the whole world will be inundated with love of God. Everyone will become a devotee.
Kad visas pasaulis taps atsidavusiais.
So that day is coming sometime in the next 10,000 years.
So
we're trying our best to serve Prabhupada's order.
Taigi stengiamės daryti geriausia, ką galime.
And we're trying to, and our, actually we'd like to improve the quality of trying it. Our best effort is not good enough. So we have to always refine that effort to make it better and better and better and better, more intelligent, more sincere, more dedicated endeavor, always increase the quality of that endeavor.
Did
that answer your question? Okay. Let's see, he hasn't asked one yet. Yeah, comment.
Yes, it depends on the instructions. Making the world fully delivered, that is different. Preaching in throughout the world is different. But some immediate instructions, one should immediately take up.
So the spiritual master gives a direct instruction, go to, bring me a glass of water, then you should do that immediately.
Jeigu dvasis mokytas duoda nurodymą, kurį manoma įgyvendinti iš karto, pavyzdžiui, atnešk man vandens, tai reikia iš karto.
It's a difference between bring me a glass of water and deliver the world. Although they're the same in one sense, but they're also different. So if there's something you can do immediately, and you must do it immediately. If something will take some time, you sincerely begin the endeavor. Thanks for pointing that out. Okay.
Kaip svarbu gauti asmeninius nurodymus ar pakanka bendrų?
It is very important to have personal orders, or it is enough to have general orders?
So, is it important to have personal orders, or is it okay just to have general orders? Actually, the general orders are all personal.
Iš tikrųjų, bendri nurodymai yra visi asmeniniai nurodymai.
They're not impersonal, they're personal.
Jie nėra neasmeniniai.
Prabhupada gave a general order to deliver the world. So I should think, well, that wasn't a personal order, so I don't have to worry about it. The general orders are also personal. But the personal orders are special mercy. It's like I received many personal orders from Prabhupada. Continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. I really cherish that one.
Man labai patinka šitas
nurodymas. Gotta always be fired up, you say.
Visą laiką būti įsikvėpus.
No matter what happens.
Nepaisant to, kas benutirtų.
Even when they put me in jail, I was fired up. You see?
Net kai mane į kalėjimą pasodino.
I was arrested for book distribution.
Suėmė mane už knygų platinimą.
36 hours I spent in the jail.
Ir 36 valandas kalėjime.
But I was fired up.
Bet buvau įsikvėpęs.
Chanting Hare Krishna.
Kartojau Hare Krishna.
I wrote a little essay called "Which Side of the Bars Are You On?"
Ir parašiau esė.
They have a saying in English called "Behind the Bars." If you're in jail, it's called "Behind the Bars." So, from my perspective, the material world was behind the bars, and I was on the liberated side. They were all behind bars, and I was on the liberated side. So, yes, microphone. Yeah. Next question.
Viešpatis daug parodė įvairiausių stebuklų ir Biblijoje, pavyzdžiui, rašoma, kad Mozė Dievo pagalba jūrą praskyrė, paskui dykumoj pamaitino žmonės, maną, bet po trijų dienų jie viską užmiršo, tie žmonės, ir vėl pradėjo verkti, mes prapulsim, mes neturim ką valgyti. Kodėl mes taip greit pamirštam Dievo stebuklus?
The Lord is showing many miracles. For example, in the Bible, He showed many miracles, but people, after a few days, they forgot and they start to cry, what we will eat. So why we forget all the mercy and miracles Lord showed to us?
If they take the miracles as for some material benefit, they will forget God.
Jeigu žmogus priima įvairius stebuklus tam, kad gautų naudos materialios, jie pamiršta tai greitai.
See, generally they approach God if they feel their material desires. So as soon as they get their material desire fulfilled, then who needs God? So this is called Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotee. Therefore we don't ask God for fulfilled material desires. We're not interested in material miracles. Just like in the Bible, Christ was able to feed the whole multitude of people with just some fish. Oh, they got all these fish by miraculous means, and he fed all the people the fish. So we're not interested in such materialistic miracles. Of getting some fish. Or, you know, we're interested in the miracle of awakening love of God within the heart.
Mums rūpi stebuklas, kad pažadinti Dievą, meilę mūsų širdyje.
And that's the miracle that we want. And that's the miracle of ISKCON. The Mulechas are becoming Vaishnavas. That is the greatest miracle in the history. The Prabhupada is turning Mulechas into pure devotees of the Lord. So we are living in a miracle right now. Prabhupada's miracle. ISKCON is Prabhupada's miracle.
ISKCONas yra stebuklas.
Welcome to the miracle. Next.
Kaip išsiugdyti skonį, šlovinti kitus, nelaukiant, kol tave kažkas kitas pašlovins.
How to get a taste to glorify others without waiting to glorify.
How to get taste?
To glorify others. And don't wait that someone glorifies you back.
What about glorifying them?
And don't wait some glorifies back.
Yeah, well, if your whole point of glorifying others is a glorified back, you're not really glorifying anybody except trying to glorify yourself.
Taip, jeigu mes kažką šlovindame, tikėdamiesi to pačio gauti atgal, tai iš tikrųjų mes save tik tai šlovindame.
I'll glorify you if you glorify me. That's materialistic.
Tai yra materialistiška.
The real motivation for glorifying others should be the orders of Krishna.
Tikroji motivacija kitus šlovinti yra Krishnos nurodymai.
Krishna very nicely explains to Sri Arjuna.
Krishna Arjuna labai gerai paaiškina.
It is mentioned in the Adi Purana.
Adi Purana.
Yeme bhakta jana parta, nome bhakta state jana, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas te me bhaktatam amata. My dear Arjun, the one who is my devotee,
tas kuris yra mano atsidavęs,
na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee.
Jisai visai nėra mano atsidavęs.
But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee.
Bet mano atsidavusi, atsidavęs, va čia tai tikras mano atsidavęs.
So you want to be devotee of Krishna?
Tai kad nori būti Krishnos atsidavęs.
Huh? Then you must become devotee of the devotee.
Tai jie turi tapti atsidavusi, atsidavęs.
And then Krishna will accept.
Tada Krishna priims
tave. That's why we glorify others. We want to increase our feelings of devotion for the devotees. So our time is up. And we thank you all very much for coming to this auspicious event, the Srimad Bhagavatam class. It is so auspicious. The sages will come from all over the universe to attend Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.